tuning the heart and voice. When the heart is in tune with God, the voice naturally responds with praise and thanksgiving. Tonight we're going to consider singing to the Lord a new song. Before we do that, let's join in singing, "O Worship the King." If you're able and willing, please stand. Oh, worship the King, all glorious above, and gratefully sing His wonderful love. Our shield and defender, the Ancient of Days, pavilioned in splendor and girded with praise. Thy bountiful care, what tongue can recite? It breathes the air, it shines in the light. It streams from the hills, it descends to the plain, and sweetly distills in the dew and the rain. Frail children of dust and feeble as frail, in Thee do we trust, nor find Thee to fail. Thy mercies, how tender, how firm to the end. Our Maker, Defender, Redeemer, and Friend. Amen. We appreciate so much the blessing, the opportunity to join you this weekend. Cindy and I have had a wonderful time. We've met people and we haven't seen for a while and made new friends in the Lord, and we're so thankful for that wonderful blessing of being able to work with you. I've been reminded by some that I had met them 30 or 40 years ago, and I just have one response to that. I know I have troubles with names, but I always forget a face. So anyway, forgive me if I don't remember. But we're so thankful for the Phipps and their wonderful hospitality and working with Rob and Rob and getting this thing planned was wonderful. And I pray that this will be an opportunity now that's begun here, that it's not an end, it is a beginning for you. And I think that you have an opportunity to build on something that has begun, and you can encourage brethren in the area and also affect people in the community here. Because it's quite easy to talk to people about congregational singing. No problem. People are usually interested in that. And especially nowadays, some are interested in what they don't hear anymore. They can't hear congregational singing a cappella. And so I think it's a wonderful opportunity for you, and pray that you'll be able to continue that and build on what has begun here. So God bless you in all of that and all your efforts here. Tonight we're going to consider the idea of singing to the Lord a new song. As we look at Scripture, there's a call to sing a new song, both in the Old Testament and in the New as well. As we look at Psalm 98:1, the call is, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for He has done marvelous things." There's a reason to sing a new song. And Psalm 149 at verse 1, "Praise the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of the godly ones. Isaiah the prophet echoes that theme in Isaiah 42 at verse 10. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing his praise from the end of the earth. And of course, in the revelation of John, he reveals in Revelation 5 at verse 9, and they sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals, for you were slain and purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. So according to Scripture, God's revelation, he says there's value in singing a new song. Well, what does that mean? What's involved in that? We'll explore some possibilities this evening or this afternoon. Singing a song in new setting of words of music. Some people would think, well, singing a new song is, we've learned some new songs this weekend. So, new music, new words. But as we look at the idea that all songs were new at one time. In fact, every song you know was new to you at some time. So the fact that a song is just new words and music is nothing new to us. We've been learning them all our lives. And so psalms and hymns and spiritual songs all have to be learned. They all have to be learned. Rob Taylor was asking me, now's the opportunity to talk a little bit about that. What are psalms and hymns and spiritual songs? Well, if you look at historians and commentators, they don't really have a real good idea of what that is. But if we would look at the Old Testament in the synagogue worship, what did they have? They had the Psalms. And so by the time Paul wrote Ephesians and Colossians, the letter, time had progressed to where they now had not only Psalms, but they had hymns and spiritual songs. So there had been a development of types of songs that they knew. And it would not be music that they would be talking about. It would be the context of the words. So if you think about the Psalms, singing the Psalms from the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, the new converted Jewish Christians would have those. But they would sing them in a different light. And so when we come to hymns, they seem to be those that are specifically in praise of Christ. Because now he's the one that gets the glory. He's the revealed Messiah, the Lord. And so the spiritual songs vary in what they possibly could have been. It could have been those psalms that were inspired by the Spirit or some other kinds of songs regarding that. But think of those New Testament Christians from the beginning of the church. The new converts had been introduced to new songs and the experience of congregational singing. And we've all undergone that ourselves. So believers in all ages have sought to express their faith in new ways. New songs are being written and made available in great numbers today. We live in the information age. If we hear something, we can probably have it by Sunday morning. It's all changed. No longer do we have editors and compilers who work on songbooks for long periods of time and then put them together. Now that's bypassed. If someone hears a song, they go online, you could get it. And so things have changed. We're being blessed in so many ways. Electronic hymnals have made the incorporation of new songs into our worship almost limitless. In fact, the new ones I introduced to you, you can go online and get them. They're available for you. So how blessed we are. New music, new words, and they require more effort and more attention when we learn new songs. So we tend to focus more at first on the notes, and then the words come along as we get to familiar with that. At first, the music does take priority, but once we feel comfortable with the music, we can appreciate the words and the expression of them. And some are easier to learn than others. Now we have more ways to express our faith than we ever have before. So new songs can enhance our song worship when properly prepared. Properly prepared and selected. But singing a new song that is new to us is not the only way to sing a new song. I would suggest that singing a new message has to do with singing a new song. As we look at Revelation 5:9, we find the new song is with regard to the work of God in Jesus. Why sing a new song? For you were slain and purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. New attention now is given to the Lamb of God, who is worthy of our praise for what he has accomplished on behalf of all mankind. So in Christ, we have a new message to proclaim, one of salvation. Let's sing about redemption's sweet song. Those angels are singing redemption's sweet song. Wonderful theme, glorious theme. Shout the glad message and join with the throng. Singing redemption's song. Sing the sweet story, redemption's sweet song. Over and over, the chorus prolong. Shout the glad message and join with the throng. Ever we'll sing praise to the King, singing redemption's song. Joy beyond measure awaits us up there. Wonderful theme, glorious theme. Soon we shall join with the angels up there, singing redemption's song. Sing the sweet story, redemption's sweet song. Over and over, the chorus prolong. Shout the glad message and join with the throng. Ever we'll sing praise to the King, singing redemption song. Amen. You see, New Testament converts, both Jew and Gentile, sang a new song, a new message regarding their Lord. 1 Timothy 3:16, by common confession, great is the mystery of godliness. He who was revealed in the flesh was vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. By common confession. 2 Timothy 3:11. It is a trustworthy statement. For if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. It is a trustworthy statement. Paul is quoting some things here that we've just read. And most likely he's quoting parts of hymns that they sang. Can you imagine first century Christians in persecution singing this hymn? For if we have died with him, we will also live with him. What a powerful statement. If we endure, we will also reign with him. Think of being a slave, being a persecuted Christian, an outcast Jew. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. What a powerful message. Ephesians 4, verse 14. For this reason it says, awake, sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Maybe that was one of the first invitation songs to be sung. It's a baptismal cry, a call. All these appear to be quotes from hymns sung by first century Christians. You know, we also sing a new song to the Lord as we learn of his salvation and his will for us. I will sing the wondrous story. Do-we. I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. How he left his home in glory for the cross of Calvary. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. Sing a new song, singing with a new perspective. A new perspective. The experience of life changes our outlook and brings new meaning to old songs. Note Psalm 40, beginning at verse 1. This is a common experience to all believers. Psalm 40 at verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord. Life's challenges strengthen our faith, and we can sing a new song of deliverance that we couldn't have sung ever before. Our own experiences of God's mercy can lead others to rejoice in him, as the psalmist says. And because of what he experienced in life and how God had dealt with him, he had a new song to sing. You know, us blessings and trials can bring to life which was once just common and everyday. A song sung at a funeral can be etched in our minds. And as I think back with our children, singing songs with them, and how they now join as Christians with me in those songs. Very precious. And I would recommend all parents that you be singing with your children. Sing with your children. What a wonderful heritage you're leaving with them when you do that. At nighttime, I remember singing, God will take care of you at night. What a comforting thought to a child, that God will take care of me. As one grows older in the Lord, songs and singing take on a new perspective, and they become a source of comfort and assurance in the stillness of the midnight. Do-so. In the stillness of the midnight. Echoes from the past I hear. Old time singing, gladness bringing from that lovely land somewhere. Precious memories, how they linger, how they ever flood my soul. In the stillness of the midnight, precious sacred scenes unfold. Why should we learn and sing new songs? Well, we have new ways to express our faith. Thoughtful exposure to new songs with appropriate training will build a congregation's capacity for praise. And as long as there's been worship, believers have sought new ways of expressing their faith in song. New songs focus our attention and energy and bring a fresh expression to timeless truths. New songs should not replace old songs, but add value to them as they are included and sung together. So the concept of something new, as Brother John Kilgore has expressed this example, there's something about new that means something to us, in our culture especially. So the idea of giving something new is important to us, especially with regard to gifts. As we think of anniversaries, birthdays, and other occasions, we don't usually think about giving something old as a gift to someone special. You know, new greeting cards are continually given, even though they say basically the same thing over and over again. But why give them? There's a meaning behind it. There's effort behind it. There's something special behind it. Singing new meaningful songs gives the sense that we're not worshiping out of habit, but truly offering a new song unto the Lord. And even though we may be expressing the same thoughts, offering them in a new setting which requires work and effort to learn and sing makes it a special gift. So let's sing a new song to the Lord. Let's sing with spirit and the understanding and truth. And when we sing in the spirit and truth, we are truly singing to the Lord a new song. Hebrews 13 to 15. Through him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. You see, a sacrifice is always the best, wasn't it? Is always the best, the first, the most spiritual that we have to offer. In Psalm 145, verse 1, I will extol you, my God, O King. I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you. I will praise your name forever and ever. You see, every day brings a new opportunity to find ways to praise our God. Psalm 40 at verse 3. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and will trust the Lord. A new song is a gift from God so that we and others will worship God in spirit and in truth. In Psalm 118, verse 14, the Lord is my strength and song. Oh, the Lord is my strength and song. And he has become my salvation. You see, the Lord Himself is our very song, the rhythm of our heart, the tune we can't get out of our head and our lives, our heavenly anthem, the life force behind our existence and our reason to live. He gave me a song. He took my burdens all away, up to a brighter day. He gave me a song, a wonderful song, a wonderful song I now can sing. In my heart joy bells ring. He gave me a song, a wonderful song. He gave me a song to sing about. He lifted me from sin and doubt. Oh, praise His name. He is my King. A wonderful song He is to be. I am redeemed, no more to die, never to say goodbye. He gave me a song, a wonderful song. And some of these days in that fair land, sing with a chorus grand. He gave me a song, a wonderful song. He gave me a song to sing about. He lifted me from sin and doubt. Oh, praise His name. He is my King. A wonderful song He is to be.
Amen.
In conclusion, is the Lord your salvation? What is the song in your heart? If you are a true Christian, then you really have something to sing about. Of all the people in the world, Christians are the only people who have something to sing and rejoice about. They sing songs of reality and of hope. They sing about real people, places, and things, and have a real hope based on real evidence. The world, on the other hand, has only one song to sing, and it's in the Bible. It's a quote from Paul's culture, the Greek culture. This was their song. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. That's it. That's all there is. If all there is in this life is what we see in this physical world, we have no other song to sing. Let's eat and drink, enjoy it now, because tomorrow it's all gone. What a hopeless outlook that is. The atheist has nothing to hope for or to find comfort in, and therefore has nothing to sing about. There is no reason for the atheist even to exist. There's no reason why we should be thinking. There's no reason for anything. What is, is. According to the secular view of things, here's the description of our existence. According to the naturalists, the evolutionists, you are the blind and arbitrary product of time, chance, and natural forces. You are a mere grab bag of atomic particles, a conglomeration of genetic substance. You exist on a tiny planet, in a minute solar system, in an empty corner of a meaningless universe. You are purely biological and a biological entity. Different only in degree, but not in kind, from a microbe, a virus, or an amoeba. You have no essence beyond your body, and at death you will cease to exist entirely. In short, you came from nothing, and you're going nowhere. You see, the agnostic doesn't even know if he has anything to cheer about. Most of humanity has rejected the truth about God and has sought something to worship, that which should make us seek him. As Paul said, they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Indeed, the only refrain the world has to sing over and over again is, "Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die." By contrast, the biblical view of life a little redundancy there. The biblical view of life maintains this: you are the special creation of a good and all-powerful God. You were created in his image, with capacities to think, feel, and worship that sets you above all other life forms. You differ from the animals not simply in degree, but in kind. Not only is your kind unique, but you are unique among your kind. Your Creator loves you so much and so intensely desires your companionship and affection that he has a perfect plan for your life. In addition, God gave the life of his only Son that you might spend eternity with him. If you are willing to believe and act on that faith, you can become a child of God. In the words of Isaac Watts, "Let those refuse to sing who never knew our God, but children of the heavenly King may speak their joys abroad." Can you sing a song of redemption? Even when life goes wrong, can you say with the psalmist, "By day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life." Sometimes we sing, when all of God's singers get home, how the ransom will raise happy songs in his praise when all of God's singers get home. You see, the children of God are God's singers. Are you one of God's singers? Are you one of his ransomed? We are about to sing this song of encouragement. Can you sing it with full confidence? Do you need to make your life right with God? Do you have the Lord as your life song? Have you heard the gospel call? Do you know what to do? We invite you to come and make your needs known as we sing this song in confidence. When all of God's singers get home, what a song of delight. Let's stand and sing. What a song of delight in that city so bright will be wafted 'neath heaven's fair dome. How the ransom will raise happy songs in his praise when all of God's singers get home. When all of God's singers get home, wherever a sorrow will come, there'll be no place like home when all of God's singers get home. As we sing here on earth songs of sadness or birth, is a foretaste of rapture to come. But our joy can't compare with the glory up there when all of God's singers get home. When all of God's singers get home, wherever a sorrow will come, there'll be no place like home when all of God's singers get home.
Having overcome sin, hallelujah, amen, will be heard in that land of the foam. Every heart will be light, and each face will be bright, when all of God's singers get home. When all of God's singers get home, where's ever a sorrow will come, there'll be no place like home when all of God's singers get home.
Amen. Thank you for your kind attention.
Well, again, I'd like to